Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'll tell you what, there's a lot that's happening here that, you know, it's unbelievable, but we had to come in. Paul and myself decided to pop in and do this show today because there's a lot of breaking news happening. Since we did our show, probably, what was it, last Sunday, there's been a lot happening. And we told you, we said, if there's any breaking news, we'll come in and we'll explain this to everybody and tell you what's going on and always keep stuff going on, right? Because that's what's important, is to know some of the greatest breaking news. And, of course, you're going to listen to it right here because we're going to give you the truth and the facts of what's happening here in around the world. You know, it's funny. I was sitting here. We were thinking this. So before I get into a lot of breaking news, so first off, one of the news stories we're going to cover is we would really like to get into today on the show about these massive gun shootings in our schools. As everybody knows, there's a lot of gun violence happening. And, I mean, just today, in Forsyth, North Carolina, they had another school shooting today. There was two perpetrators. They had some guns. And I know that, on the police scanner, I was listening to it. They even said there was 9mm and all this other shit happening. But then you look back just a couple days ago in Nashville, you know, where people died, children died. What was it, like nine victims or something like that? And that's what's crazy, folks, is that there are too many shootings going on in America, and it's our children who are at danger. And it's unbelievable that the Republican Party does not want to back up anything about this and trying to do any kind of stipulation against guns. You know, it's really funny that the Republicans are so fucked up that they're more concerned about what to do as far as banning books in schools because they feel that's going to hurt our children if they were to learn about, like, CRT and all this other shit. So what are they going to do? They're going to say, well, let's ban these books. So the Republicans want to ban the books, but they ain't too concerned about our children getting shot and killed in these schools. It makes no fucking sense. It really doesn't. It's really kind of pathetic in a way. And that's who the Republican Party is. They're very much of a pathetic issue of what they're about. And it's really, really, really sickening that this shit is going on. All right, so the major breaking news that everybody's talking about, I mean, it's all over social media right now, is that Donald Trump, the former president of the United States of America, has been indicted. So he has to face his indictment. And they're saying that on Tuesday he will have to go in, whether he has to go in handcuffs or whatever they do. But the thing is, what will happen to Donald Trump? Well, he has to go in for his arraignment on Tuesday. A lot of people are saying that this could get really, really sticky in some ways because obviously Donald Trump is trying to promote another January 6th attack. And what he's doing is he's calling upon his supporters to do this. So this is what Donald Trump is. Donald Trump feels he has to go out and try to incite his followers to commit another act of domestic terrorism. All right, so Donald Trump indicted, ladies and gentlemen. We've been waiting for this day, and it finally came.
A sentence I never thought I'd say, and that many of you likely never thought you'd hear. For the first time ever, a former president of the United States has been indicted by a New York State grand jury. The indictment was handed down in the Manhattan DA case regarding Trump's hush money payouts to Stormy Daniels, a crime for which Trump's own lawyer, Michael Cohen, had gone to prison, and yet, despite the fact that that crime was committed at the direction of and for the benefit of Donald Trump, he managed to evade accountability until today. At this point, Trump's lawyers have already come out and said that in the event of an indictment, he would turn himself in, likely with the express purpose of depriving everyone of a photo of a perp walk. Because while Trump might be content to traffic in a perpetual state of victimhood, even he knows that his sense of martyrdom has its limits, those limits being a photo of him in handcuffs plaguing him for the rest of his life. Trump will now almost assuredly be released upon being booked. After that, there will be an arraignment. The judge in the case will likely set a series of interim status hearings to lay out which motions they'll want to file. From there, there will be motions hearings where they'll be able to call witnesses, and then a trial date will be set, most likely within 6 months to a year. So if you're worried about things moving too quickly to be able to follow, you've got time. Now, knowing that his indictment was imminent, Trump opted to defer to his tried-and-true tactic of inciting violence as some last-ditch effort to deter prosecutors from holding him accountable. He took to Truth Social, posting things like, "The far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States of America will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Protest, take our nation back." And, "We can't just allow this anymore. They're killing our nation as we sit back and watch. We must save America. Protest, protest, protest." And of course, having plenty of experience now at inciting riots, Trump was seeking to do it again. And because he is as discreet as a hurricane, law enforcement had already begun working on security preparations in the event that he, of course, summons a mob.
Now, when we are learning that the Manhattan DA's office has asked for a meeting with law enforcement ahead of a potential Trump indictment, this is coming to Fox News from a source in the courts. The meeting, which was requested yesterday and has not been set yet, is to discuss logistics for sometime next week, which would mean that they are anticipating an indictment next week. The same source who's familiar with the planning said they will go over security preparations in and around the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. Secret Service will take the lead in what they will allow or will not allow. The source cautioned, mentioning, for instance, that the decision to handcuff the president, a former president or not. They will set the tone and will escort him into the courtroom. There will be coordination between all of us, the source said, but we will defer to the Secret Service. The battle will be between Secret Service and DA Alvin Bragg. They will decide how and when he'll get into the building, and they are not going to leave him. The source believes that the former president will still have to be fingerprinted and processed like every other defendant. So this is a huge development.
And just as a quick aside, for any Trump apologist out there who still maintains that it was never Trump's intention to incite an insurrection on January 6th, you can throw that right out the window. The fact that he's called for yet another protest in New York, even after having the knowledge, in retrospect, of what happens when he summons his supporters to avenge him, is all the proof you need that the violence was the point. Maybe he had plausible deniability the first time, but not the second. If you summon a mob again, armed with the knowledge that the last time that ended with the U.S. Capitol under siege, then you don't get to pretend that you want peace. For Trump, the violence was the point then, and the violence is clearly the point now. And the goal, per usual, is to try and bend the law to his will. He thinks that by virtue of threatening violence and chaos, that'll somehow redound to his benefit, somehow help him escape accountability. Although at this point, and I think I can say this with 100% certainty for the first time ever, his last-ditch effort isn't going to work, and he won't be able to get away with it. But it really is telling that this guy, who literally took an oath to defend the United States of America, has now, not once, but twice, sought to stoke the flames of domestic terror and violence, both times solely to defend himself. On January 6th, he sought to pressure Pence into illegally declaring him the winner of an election that he lost, and now he's seeking to pressure prosecutors into not holding him accountable for his own criminal activity. The notion that this person ever cared about anyone other than Donald Trump is, at best, an absolute joke. And let's be perfectly clear about one thing here. While Trump will throw his tantrums and cry victim and summon his mobs and pretend the whole world is out to get him, let's not forget that no one forced him to do any of this. No one forced him into making illegal campaign contributions to Stormy Daniels to keep their affair quiet so it wouldn't hurt his chances of running for office. Just like no one asked him to call Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, to tell him to conjure up 11,780 votes that didn't exist for the express purpose of winning an election that he lost. No one asked him to steal classified documents from the White House and lie about having already returned them. No one asked him to falsify business records and issue false financial statements and engage in insurance fraud in New York. No one asked him to incite a mob to storm the U.S. Capitol. He did all of those things on his own. So if he's being prosecuted now, Trump has no one to blame but himself. And it never does get old that I have to explain that to the leader of a party that brands itself the party of personal responsibility. It would almost be funny if it wasn't so pathetic. And while we're on the topic of pathetic, a number of Trump apologists have come out in staunch defense of their leader, but none more pathetic than Mike Pence, who, thanks to Donald Trump himself, was nearly assassinated the last time Trump summoned a mob to do his bidding. Pence had this to say.
The idea of indicting a former president of the United States is deeply troubling to me, as it is to tens of millions of Americans, and particularly happening in what appears to be a politically charged environment in New York, where the Attorney General and other elected officials literally campaigned on a pledge to prosecute the former president.
I did mention that the guy he's defending was about 40 feet away from having him killed, right? I did? Okay, just making sure. Kevin McCarthy took to Twitter writing, "Here we go again, an outrageous abuse of power by a radical DA who lets violent criminals walk as he pursues political vengeance against President Trump. I'm directing relevant committees to immediately investigate if federal funds are being used to subvert our democracy by interfering in elections with politically motivated prosecutors." In other words, Trump issues a call to arms, and the first thing that Kevin McCarthy does is try to stop an independent prosecution of his boss, all the while overseeing a weaponization of government committee, because up is down and left is right and nothing means anything anymore. And of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene also sprinted to Trump's side.
And if they indict President Trump on fake charges to go after him to try to stop the movement that they cannot stop, he is going to win 2024 in a landslide victory. And then we will put him in the White House and he will finish what he started. We will gut the government of all the traitors that are serving the globalists in America last.
And I just want to touch on this idea that was surfaced by Green, this idea that a Trump indictment would guarantee a Trump landslide. And here's the thing. We were told that after Trump's impeachment, and yet he went on to lose re-election. We were told that after the FBI executed a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago, and yet Trump's America First candidates went on to get crushed in the midterms. In other words, every time one of these Trump acolytes promises us that some modicum of accountability will lead to some inevitable Trump resurgence, the opposite ends up happening. So while these people will continue to believe that there's some massive contingent of Trump loyalists out there just waiting to mobilize to defend his honor the moment he's wronged, it turns out that's just wish casting on the part of some pretty deluded Republicans. The simple fact is that Americans have broadcast over and over and over that they're not interested in buying what Trump is selling. They're not interested in the extremism, in the corruption, in the self-dealing, or in the lies. They have shown us that in 2018, in 2020, in 2022, and I have no doubt that they'll show it again if they need to in 2024. So Republicans can stay lost in their little bubbles wherein they continue to sprint to the right to appeal to some dwindling faction of extremists that compose their base, but they've lost the rest of the country while doing so. So while they view Trump as a martyr because he's being held accountable for his own actions, the rest of us see him for exactly what he is, a criminal, one who finally and for the first time in the history of this country is beginning to face the accountability that he deserves.
There you go. Yes, yes, yes. Trump indicted. You know, they actually caught Donald Trump earlier when they came to him. They told him. Before they announced it, they haven't really publicly announced everything yet, but before they even brought it out to anybody else, they actually talked to Donald Trump and told him, they said, hey, you know, we're going to indict you and you're going to have to show up for court. And, you know, Donald Trump actually was so upset about it that, you know, they were like, what are we going to do? And so Donald Trump came out. And they actually caught Donald Trump singing. Here's Donald Trump singing. Oh, yeah, listen to this.
I'm breaking rocks in the hot sun. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won. I needed money cause I had none. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won. I left my baby and it feels so bad. I guess my race is run. But she's the best girl that I ever had. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won.
Oh, yeah. So that's Donald Trump singing, actually. That was, they took his words. that poor bastard, I'll tell you. You know, Donald Trump being indicted is just a part of it, you know. Christmas music. Oh, my God, I remember.
Trump in jail, Trump in jail, Trump in jail, rock. He's gonna swing and we're gonna sing. River and we'll have some fun. Now his time in jail has begun. Trump in jail, Trump in jail, Trump in jail rock. Him doing time for all of his crime. Dancing and prancing in Washington Square. He deserves the chair. Perp walk on Christmas Day. Giddy up, giddy up, pick up the pace. He's running out the clock. There's not a reason now that he should be free. That's the Trump in jail. That's the Trump in jail. That's the Trump in jail. Rock!
Oh, my God. Trump in jail, right? That's what it's all about. So, you know, Trump going to, you know, I would love to see, I hope they handcuff him and put him in jail. I think that would be the greatest moment. Later on, before we end up the show, I got another song for Donald Trump. We'll close up the show with that later on. But anywho, here is something that I'm going to bring up before we bring Paul in. And the one thing I'm going to bring up is school shootings and all these gun violence with our children in our schools. I mean, folks, it doesn't get no more serious than this. What are we going to do to fix this situation? You know, when you have our children dying at the hands of these psychotic criminals that are out killing them. I mean, a student now doesn't not only have to worry about peer pressure or have to worry about what's going on in social media or have to worry about what they're going to wear for clothing and, you know, or go to the prom or what girl they like, you know, or what guy they like. It's almost to the point that now they have to worry about, are they going to survive? And our children getting killed every single day, and that's what it's becoming, folks. Every time you turn on the news, every time you turn on a police scanner, it is nothing but gun violence in schools. Children are dying. And all these Republican lawmakers don't give a shit because, well, obviously they make fun of it. Look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. When she made fun, you know, of, you know, all the students there at the Parkland School. And then you have, look at Alex Jones, who got sued for Sandy Hook. They make fun of this whole scenario and situation. But then they just say, oh, no, 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 no. We don't want you to have an abortion, ladies, because if you have an abortion, it's killing kids, but they don't care that a person has a gun and is out there killing our kids as they get older. It's almost like the Republicans are saying, well, we will help you to get out of the womb, but once you hit out of that womb, we don't care what happens to you. So if you get shot, fuck it, you're on your own. And that's how they perceive it. They also perceive it that books are bad, and we must ban these books because you can't mention the word LGBTQ, gay, lesbian, or transgender in schools because it is very damaging to our kids. But they don't care if a person goes into a school and shoots up the damn school because that's not a concern to them. Why would they want to get rid of weapons and guns and assault weapons when they make mass money off of these type of programs? The NRA is the biggest corruption for the Republican Party, and they make mass amounts of money off the NRA, and that's why they support them, and that's why they want guns in people's hands. They always say, Second Amendment rights, it's my right. You hear it all the fucking time. But Americans look at guns as if it's some idealistic possession that they have to have the damn thing. But what's the difference between us and other countries? Countries like, let's say, Canada, where they have guns. Well, we have guns. But they have a difference in their programs and their stipulation. Here is a person that is from Canada who discusses this and talks about the difference between America and Canada. And actually, some guy told him, he said, did you know that America and Canada are exactly the same with guns?
United States.
But here's
really?
The
to legally buy a gun in Canada, you need a federal license, which is called a possession and acquisition license, or short form, PAL. You need to take a federal firearms course, which is a written and practical test that you need to pass. As well, you go through an RCMP or a police background check, which could take months. If you want to own something other than a shotgun or a rifle for hunting purposes, like a handgun or an AR-15, then you need to get a restricted PAL, which even needs more testing for you. And then you have to have a carry license, a transport license. Because the only place you're allowed to take your gun in Canada is a shooting club or a driving range. Nowhere else. So no, sir. Canada and the United States are not the same when it comes to guns.
When he says when it comes to guns, it actually cut off a little bit there, but he says it's not the same when it comes to guns. Folks, that's exactly true. So when you look at America, why are we not the same as Canada where we have stipulations like this to where you have to have a background check, where you have to go through the same type of programs, where you have to have a certain license to carry the weapons, where you can only fire those weapons at firing ranges, not carry them all around the country? Why aren't we the same? Because it seems like they may have their shit together, and that's why their crime rate or murder rate from guns are way, way, way down. They're way lower than the United States of America. And not only them, but other countries are the same as ours. I mean, it's the same as Canada, excuse me. So when you think about it, and you take this and put it in a nutshell, America is the only one different out of the equation of their love for guns and weapons. I mean, folks, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to change these laws? What do you think? Should we get rid of the Second Amendment? Should we revise the Second Amendment? Should there be stipulations with guns? I think there should. I think that there must be something changed in America. Because if you don't do it, guess what's going to happen? More children are going to die at the hands of these fucking psychotic people. And everybody goes, well, guns don't kill people. People kill people. How are they getting those guns? They should even have them in their possession, regardless if a gun kills a person or a person kills a person. They should not have those in their possession. And I hope that makes sense to you, because if it doesn't, you're upon the other ones who are fucking retarded and stupid. Seriously. Let's get a life together and stop this shit. Because if it doesn't happen, many, many, many kids will die at the hands of these idiots that are out there. And that's what's important. So we're going to talk about this and all the other breaking news as well. All right. You know what's funny, by the way, before I'm going to bring Paul in right now, but let me just say, I watched Mike Pence today. He was on CNN News. They brought him on there. They interviewed him. And I got to tell you, Mike Pence is the biggest douchebag of all. This man is not only a coward when it comes to everything else he does, and of course to the Trump people, he's a coward because he didn't stop the certification of the election. That's what happened with January 6th. But I think he's a coward against Donald Trump because this man was about to be murdered by Donald Trump's followers. And he sits there and acts like everything's peachy fine. And, you know, all this stuff happened because of a reason. And we should just forgive them and blah, blah, blah. I mean, this guy is the biggest douchebag of all douchebags. He has no spine and he has no balls. And I guess mother must have took his balls. But the problem is he's going to run for president. And I don't think he's going to get it. But he supports Donald Trump and thinks that what Donald Trump being indicted was a was un-American to America. It's the worst thing that America could do by indicting a former president. I mean, that's how coward he is. Look, if Michael Cohen had to face the price against what happened with Donald Trump and what Donald Trump did in this whole bullshit, well, then Donald Trump should have to pay the price, too. And that's why he's been indicted. Because, finally, the rest of America is saying Donald Trump needs to go to prison.
All right! Rain me down. You got a lovely face. We're going to your place. But you fuck so good, I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Scratches all down my back to keep it right on.
Oh, yes. What's up, Mrs. Paul Alexander?
Miss. Ms.
What's happening?
Miss Paul Alexander.
Miss Alexander.
Oh, my God. I am on some different medication for my blood pressure, and if I sound a little weird,
good for you.
Hopefully I won't. No.
Good for you, though. That's good.
No.
We need your blood.
No.
We need your blood pressure to be good. What kind is it? Do you know the name of it by chance?
Well, first of all, my doctor. I went to my doctor about 2.5 weeks ago because my blood pressure meds were making me feel really tired. Okay, so I went in
to
see what could be changed to where I could function because I have my own home. I have my own apartment to take care of. I have a kitty to take care of. I drive. Okay? I still drive, run errands, go to the restaurant, go to fast food store, et cetera, et cetera. I was on one, get this, 120 milligram lisinopril and potassium. Okay, she has already.
How many milligrams?
Several months, 20 milligrams. So several months ago, I went to her because, I needed a change, or it might have been 4 or 5 months ago. And she got me to taking 2 potassiums a day. So that, because apparently my blood pressure was actually a little low. And the lisinopril with the water pill combined with it, you can get the lisinopril with the, what is it, HCl or H, what is it, hydrochloride. It's a water pill combined mm-hmm. with the lisinopril, okay? So apparently the water part of it was lowering my blood pressure. So she put me on potassium. Well, I was still feeling a little tired after I ate. I would get really tired. So I thought, well, I'll make an appointment and go in and see if we can change something to keep that from happening. She did the complete mm-hmm. opposite. She put me on not one. Okay. She took me off the lisinopril with the water pill and put me on the regular mm-hmm. lisinopril without the water pill.
Okay.
But not only did she put me on that, but she put me on 2 of them a day.
Wow. Two lisinoprils.
Plus two lisinoprils, plus she included amlopidine, which is another.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck, yeah.
Another blood pressure.
Yeah, I know that
so
drug.
I was thinking, so I did this for one day. I took 3 blood pressure meds in one day. I could not function.
She oh, my God.
She took me off the potassium. She took me off the potassium and put me on 3 blood pressure pills a day. I did
oh,
it for
man.
One day. I couldn't wait to get to it. I was drinking water as much as possible to try and flush it out because
uh-huh.
I felt like shit. Couldn't function.
Yep.
I felt like I was in Night of the Living Dead. Matter of fact, when I left, the nurse got a big kick out of me because when I left the message, I go, I am not taking amlopidine again. It is the devil med. So when she called me back, she goes, your doctor says you can go off the devil medication. So.
Yeah, that amlopidine, man, that stuff is rough. And by the way, lisinopril, just to let you know, they probably didn't tell you this, or you may not have known, but it can actually, because I'm on lisinopril myself, but I will tell you, it will cause a lot of bullshit to you, too. It makes you, makes you cough a lot. You have a lot of coughing with it.
Well, I've had a lot of. I've been on lisinopril for about, with the water pill part of it, for probably, 13 years, and I did cough, but it worked. It worked. It was fine. It was okay. It worked. But when she put me on, okay, I went from. In other words, she had me taking 2 lisinopril a day, so I went from taking 20 milligrams. Of lisinopril to 40 milligrams a day, plus the amlopidine.
Uh-huh.
How do you function? I mean,
I take 40 milligrams. That's what I take, 40 milligrams of lisinopril, and then I take spironolactone, and then I take Chlorig, which is another blood pressure medicine. So I take 3 altogether.
Okay. So when I called the other day, when the nurse called me back, she took me off the amlopidine because I said I flat out told him I wasn't going to take it anymore. And so she wanted me to stay on the. The thing is, Jerry, is that on the 20 milligram lisinopril, I was doing fine. I just got a little tired after I ate, or if I hadn't had enough sleep the night before, after I ate, I would get tired. So I was doing fine on that, okay? So she took me off the amlopidine, which she said to continue the 2 lisinoprils, which I don't understand if I'm already doing all right on 20 milligrams. And she also put me on spironolactone. Do you know what that is?
Oh, yeah. That's what I take that as well, yeah.
Okay. Well, today was my first day on it. It's a water pill. Mm-hmm. It's basically a water pill. But it doesn't deplete your potassium. So they wanted me to go off the potassium because they're saying that the spironolactone will not lower your potassium. So I have another phone call in. Found out that my doctor was out for the afternoon, and I have another phone call. They're supposed to call me back tomorrow because I can't take two lisinopril a day either. I, you know, I'm willing to go back to where I was, taking the potassium and the one lisinopril, and that's it, because I don't understand. If I go in and ask for a change so I don't feel as tired, and yet I'm feeling 10 times worse tired, I don't get that. I don't understand that. Why? So if I sound a little weird, it's because I'm tired. I took the spironolactone tonight or today, and I did not take two lisinopril on my own today. I decided, nope, I'm not doing that. I did it on my own. So I don't know what the doctor
said. Yeah, that's terrible.
I mean, I was fine on 20
rough.
Milligrams and potassium, except for feeling a little tired after I ate. So I don't get it. Anyway, let's get into it. Let's talk about Mike Pence for a minute. Mike Pence would make a terrible president. He would make a horrible president. He is such a fucking wuss that he would not be able to stand up to guys like Putin and Xi Jinping and Kim Jong-un. He would not be able to stand up the dictators of the world. He'd be going, okay, all right. If you want Ukraine, I won't send them any more missiles anymore, and I won't send them any more tanks anymore. You go ahead and take it.
Yeah.
You know. He would not be able to
see what Mother does. Mother.
Plus,
oh my
you
God.
Know he was the governor. Plus, you know he was the governor of, I think it was Indiana, before he was vice president.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And he is the one that stood by when an Indiana bakery denied a gay couple getting married. They said they wouldn't bake a cake for a gay couple. And he stood by that.
Yeah.
So he is very anti-LGBTQ. He doesn't believe in abortion, no matter what. Even if the woman is dying, even if the mother is dying, he does not care. You know.
But yeah.
He would make a horrible, horrible president. Such a wuss. And it brings back that picture. There's a picture of when Obama was in office. And it there's a picture. Vladimir Putin is shorter than Obama. And there is a picture of something they went to in Europe. They were there at the same time. And there was a picture of Obama standing in front of Vladimir Putin, leaning into him and looking him in the face. And you can tell he was telling him off. That is
wow.
The kind of president. Yeah, if I can find the picture, I'll send it to you. Yeah. You've never seen that picture?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. There's a picture of Obama leaning into him like, you know, if somebody did that to me, I'd call it assault and battery.
That's so true.
Yeah, that's the kind of president we need. That's the kind of president we need.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the kind of president that Biden is. Biden won't take shit from these guys either. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Pence would make a terrible. He'd be the one cowering down from Vladimir Putin going, yes, sir, yes, sir. Oh, 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 okay.
Well, that's so true, though, yeah.
So,
I mean, he's part of Donald Trump, so, you know.
Yeah, well, Pence, he would make a terror. I mean, he's anti. He's right in there with all the conservative Republicans, anti-women, anti-gay, a wuss when it comes to dictators. Would probably go along with a Republican Congress to gut Social Security, Medicare. I mean, he's your typical conservative Republican. He would make a shitty, shitty president.
Oh, I
so,
absolutely.
Okay. Let's do the, before we get into the Trump thing, let's go with the gun thing. I don't know if you people out there listening know this, but car wrecks and pediatric cancer, killers of children. I said used to be. Now it is guns. More children, more American children are killed by guns than car wrecks and pediatric cancer. That's sickening. The Republicans think more of their guns than they do of the beating hearts of children. I shared a meme on my profile, I think it was yesterday. It's a drawing, and it's of a child. It's a drawing of a child bent over on the floor, dead. And basically it says, this is an abortion by gunfire.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
I don't know. I didn't get much attention from my friends, but, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I thought it was very powerful. You know, this is, and you know, and these Republicans are all about anti-abortion.
Yeah.
You know, a group of males, a group of cells and a uterus that might be killing their mother. They're more concerned about their guns than they are about a mother's health. You know, first I had a problem with saying abortion is about women's health care. And then I started reading all these stories. I started reading all these stories about women who have died because of pregnancy. Because they had a fetus, a group of cells, in their uterus that died and is causing their body to go poisonous, septic. It's called septic. But it's poison.
Right.
It's because the fetus inside them is dead. It's rotting inside them, which causes the mother to be poisoned by those dead cells from that dead fetus inside them. That's really graphic. I'm sorry. But it needs to be said.
Yeah, somebody actually wrote in the chat room, they said, lock up the lunatics and criminals, not the guns.
Oh, my God. Okay. Okay. This is the thing, you idiot. We don't want to take away all your guns. Jerry is an ex-police officer. He owns a gun. I used to own a gun. I live in rural Arkansas among hunters. They live for deer season. They live for goose season. My gun was for protection. Because as a single female living alone, okay? We don't want to take away those guns. But when you allow an assault weapon that can kill multiple people within a matter of 30 seconds, that stupid gun needs to get off the street. It's a weapon of war. And don't tell me it's not. I've had people argue with me saying it's not a weapon of war. They tell me it's not a weapon of war. The fuck is not?
It is. I mean, that's what they use when they go to war.
Right.
That's what SWAT teams use. Not police officers, SWAT teams. You know, by the way, this guy, I messaged this guy. I told him, I said that most are not criminals, and they shoot kids and never been a criminal beforehand, so they go under the radar. And he says, from what I've heard, most of these mass murders are known lunatics and criminals of some type, but many aren't admittedly. Quite a few are actually transgender.
There's been a few of them transgender. What the fuck does that have to do with it? What the hell does that have to do with a semi-automatic weapon? You do realize, you stupid idiot, that multiple bullets out of an AR-15 can't be stopped.
Well, no.
You know, and that's a stupid argument I hear from people. It's like, okay, we'll put good guys at the doorways, put the good guys with the gun at the doorway. You remember last year there was a grocery store where a young guy went to the grocery store and 10 people died at the grocery store, including the security officer.
I remember that.
He could not get his gun out of his holster fast enough to shoot back at a guy with an AR-15. And he died because of it.
Mm.
The shooter at this school in North Carolina, Covenant Christian School, and she's transgender. What the fuck does that have to do with it? She also had mental problems. You know, I have anxiety. I have PTSD. I don't go out and shoot up schools.
Well, that's true.
What is he saying? Something else?
No, he didn't say anything else. You know, but and I don't understand, because if other countries can do this, like Canada, for example, like the guy was explaining in that audio, that they have to go through like a federal background check. They have to go get a license. They have to show how to shoot the gun, which that's a lot of stuff that we do because you have to get a license. But they have to go through a serious waiting list. It goes up to 6 months. And then when they get the guns, they can only use them at the firing ranges, especially if it's an assault weapon, or you can only use your hand, you know, like rifles and stuff to go, you know, hunting and stuff like that. But you cannot use an assault weapon to go out and just carry it around to fucking Canada like it's just a, you know, like it's a toy. You know, that's not,
right.
That's the difference. And
well,
our country is fucking really fucked up.
Okay, well, Canada's not the only country. New Zealand.
Well, yeah, I know.
New Zealand is a Christchurch shooting. They did an assault weapons buyback, and it worked. I think there's only been one or two, I can't remember what year it was, but there's rarely ever a killing because of guns in New Zealand now. Scotland. I think the city was called, and it was a school shooting. I think it was called Dunbane or Dunblane, Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
They had a school shooting.
Yeah.
Okay, I got your message. They had a shooting. They immediately banned the guns. They have not had a mass shooting. And that was, I think, what was that, 2009, 2010, since then. We are the number one country in the world for mass shootings because of automatic rifles, assault weapons. And not only that, but I don't know if you saw the video. I have a video of the gal that attacked the Covenant Christian school when she broke into the building. She actually shot the glass out in the doors.
The glass, yeah.
She shot.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And I learned that on MSNBC today that she had weapons training.
Yeah, you could tell by the way she's holding the gun as she's in the video. You know, she knows how to use it as to search for her victims or whatever. But you can tell by the way she was holding that gun. She knew what she was doing with that gun.
Right. So when you say put a good guy at the door with the gun, it's going to stop it. Oh, fuck me running. No, it's not.
No.
That's an ignorant statement.
No, because if there's guys at that glass door, they probably would have been shot and killed. You know what I mean? They would have already been shot and killed.
Right.
You know, from that person there.
So, it's the guns. You take the guns away, psychopaths won't have access to them and can't use them to kill children. Period.
Right. That's exactly. And that's a perfect way of explaining it right there, too.
Thank you.
It is, yeah. So, but it just makes you sick. You know, these people support this shit. I don't understand why they would support it. I don't understand that. You know.
Yeah. So we have callers?
We do have a caller. We'll take a few calls. We'll go to the first guy here, the first person here is on the line. Hello, you on the line. Go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I'd like to give you my perspective and why I'm coming from the perspective I do, and it has entirely to do with my background. I am a three-war veteran, Vietnam on active duty, the Gulf War as a member of the National Guard, and also Operation Iraqi Freedom as a member of the National Guard, 23 years as a state policeman, certified firearms instructor, special Reaction teams instructor, regularly instructed in the use of force continuum, adopted by the NIH and by our department and most others across the nation. And when I became a police officer, my beliefs about guns and gun homicide lined up pretty much with what I've heard here tonight. My experiences as a police officer in 23 years working mainly in Cook County in Chicago caused me to turn around 180 degrees from that opinion with which I started the job. And I'd like to explain to you why.
Go ahead. And you did not acknowledge me in your opening statement.
I didn't acknowledge anyone, actually.
You acknowledged Jerry.
I hope. I trust you're not offended.
You called him sir. So, okay, go ahead.
Well, I thought he was exclusively the host. If he's not, then forgive me.
Oh, no, you're okay, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Okay, well, I think someone's a little touchy. All right, again. There are approximately, depending upon whose figures you look at, between 350 million to 400 million firearms in private hands in the United States. If law-abiding citizens, no matter what type of firearm it is, whether it's a fully automatic weapon, as hundreds of thousands of people in this country are legally allowed to own under the National Firearms Act and the Hughes Amendment of 1986, provided they are on the legally transferable automatic weapons firearms list, if law-abiding citizens were a significant problem, this country would be ungovernable. There'd be no way to govern it, but they're not. Now, what we have here is a problem, as I hear being outlined, a problem allegedly with automatic rifles or semi-automatic so-called assault weapons, a category which doesn't exist in any single firearms category I've been officially aware of as a soldier and a police officer. According to the FBI and Uniform Crime Reports, long guns of every type, to include assault weapons, ordinary hunting rifles, shotguns, and the like, are involved in fewer deaths by homicide than are fists and feet. Somewhere in the neighborhood, depending on what year you look at, between 400 and 500 homicides committed with long guns of all types, as related to over 700 on average with fists and feet. So even if you want to include the mass shootings and all of these from year to year, long guns are not implicated in anywhere near but a tiny percentage of all homicides. I'm excluding suicides, and in suicides, they're practically non-existent. The handgun is the weapon of choice. Now, we are speaking, this discussion is being held, it seems, as though A, the First and Second Amendment doesn't exist, B, the Heller decision, the McDonald decision, and the Bruin decision by the United States Supreme Court didn't occur. But for the sake of discussion, let's exclude those decisions as though they didn't exist. And let's speak about the practicality of just disarming people who own these so-called assault weapons, which are the most popular rifles in the United States by sheer number. Over 50 million Americans or 50 million rifles are privately owned, making them the most singular popular type of rifle in the United States. I would like you to consider the logistical impossibility of rounding them all up, even if they were declared illegal tomorrow. I guarantee you they would not be voluntarily surrendered to any great extent whatsoever.
Yeah.
And what my experience as a police officer was, I took dozens of guns from criminals when I was a police officer. Dozens. I recall two occasions in my 23-year career that I took a gun from a person who was legally allowed to own it in the first place. They were almost all recidivist criminals, most of the time violent felony repeat offenders. And they were not legally allowed to own them in the first place. They utterly disregarded the crimes. The people who commit crimes are not, by and large, by any stretch of the imagination, law-abiding citizens.
Dude.
Paula.
Did you know that Jerry is an ex-police officer?
Yeah, I'm a former police officer as well.
He doesn't have to agree with me. I'm telling him why I believe what I believe. If he has a contrary opinion, I'd be welcome to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand what you're saying and everything, but I, you know, me personally, I mean, I've, you know, as a police officer, I mean, I'd rather, you know, nowadays you go up to a car, you know, and you have to worry about being shot every single day, and now, you know, they allow these assault weapons and everything out on the streets, and, you know, you can carry them just like you're carrying anything else. You know, as a police officer, you're a little more concerned, you're going to be a little more jumpy on the situation, which in hand, it's going to make it worse for everybody because, you know, the officer is going to be very concerned going up to that vehicle if he's going to get shot or she's going to get shot, and they're going to take it a little bit more serious than normal. And so, you know, people get mad because a police officer pulls their weapon out and has it next to their side when they walk up to a vehicle. I can tell you this now, because of them having weapons like that, I guarantee if I'm out there and I was a police officer, I had my gun to my side because my weapon was going to be ready in case somebody was going to fire upon me, because that's the kind of shit that goes on. And you said that you did eliminate or you got rid of, you know, you had confiscated a lot of weapons. And I have too. I've actually confiscated a lot of weapons from people that should not have had those weapons. But in my, you know, here's what I think. I'm thinking like this. Why the hell does somebody need an assault weapon? There's no reason for it. You know, you don't go deer hunting with an assault weapon, because if you have to use an assault weapon to go deer hunting, then you're a bad shot, for one, or something's wrong with you. Two, it's just a, to me, it feels like it's more of a power trip for that person. And the people that own assault weapons, majority of them are those people who I've ran into as an ex-police officer, or when I was a police officer, were people like militia and people who were more concerned about the government coming after them. And so they had all these conspiracy shit to where it was very dangerous, because every time we pulled one of them over, you know, we had to pull them over with several different units to get them out of their car because they thought they were above the law. And, of course, this is where it becomes a situation. And there's going to be more bloodshed on the streets because, you know, you got two different people, officers versus the people with the guns, and they're going to be more concerned. And then accidents are going to happen, and that's what's going to happen. People are going to jump the gun, and people are going to get shot. You know, I seen a guy just the other day. He was on a video. This guy ran him off the road, and so what did he do? He pulled up next to the guy, pushed him up into a gas station, and then the guy got out of his car with an AR-15 pointing it at the guy. And the guy's like, you know, yelling at him, and he ain't afraid of the damn thing, so he's up in front of the guy's face. But this guy had an AR-15 and said, I'm going to fucking kill you because you don't need to be in my space. I mean, what the hell? Why would you want to shoot somebody over a damn running them off the road? You know, it's stupidity. And so there's people that should not have guns in their hands, and that's what it is. I'm not saying get rid of guns. There just needs to be more stipulations to it. That's just what I believe, you know. So
well, I understand what you're saying, but
I went through training.
Okay.
You know, we should respect that.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but when I was an instructor, what I always told every single one of my students was you are always to assume that any encounter that you have with any suspect in any realm, in any venue whatsoever, you are to assume your person you're encountering may be armed. Because it's always an armed encounter because you yourself are bringing an arm to the encounter. And by police statistics at the time I was teaching, somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 or so percent of all officers killed in the line of duty were killed with their own firearm after it had been taken from them. So I said, every encounter you have with a suspect is an armed encounter, and you ought to conduct yourself accordingly. So I said, always assume that. No matter what the law is, the law almost never keeps a criminal from getting a firearm for his criminal purposes. I mean, never. The only fear I've ever heard a criminal when I interviewed a criminal after arresting them, and they would I'd ask them, say, what's your greatest fear when you're committing a crime? Your greatest immediate fear when you commit a crime, what are you most afraid of? And almost invariably, invariably, when they would say, of those who chose to answer me, I'm afraid of getting shot by a citizen with a gun. Because they don't have many restrictions on using force as do the police. All they got to do is say, I'm shot in self-defense. They say they are more afraid of that than they are of the police when it comes to getting caught. Now, you asked about why anyone would want an AR-15.
Can I speak?
That's up to the host, I guess.
Okay. You just told on yourself. You said that people
What did I confess to, madam?
Excuse me, I'm speaking.
Not yet, you aren't.
I am now. Jerry,
good for you.
I'm about ready to let this.
All right, good for you. What did I confess to, ma'am?
What part is okay with you that a crazy person can legally or illegally buy an automatic weapon and walk into a school or a church and mow down multiple lives, multiple souls? Where does it end for you? Why is that okay with you? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, he's gone, Paula. He went bye-bye. But
you're
right.
Thank you.
And you know what? And there was something else he said that really bothers me. Is he said, we need our assault weapons in case, you know, that we have to be able to fight back, you know, we have to be able to overturn with the government, you know, with the governing. That's the reason why he wants assault weapons, because he's afraid that America, that government's going to come after him. And that's what these people do. They're afraid.
He wants a private militia. He wants a private militia to overthrow the government that Trump taught him to do, and that these people like the Proud Boys and who's some of the others? Proud Boys and not only that, but there's other
Oath Keepers, all of them.
Yeah, well, not just them. But there's other smaller groups that we don't know about, militia groups that are out there that think that they can overthrow the government. We fought a fucking revolutionary war in 1776.
Yep.
To maintain our democracy and the Constitution and the government of the United States of America. And this guy thinks that he can just... Why? You may not agree everything the opposing party says. But what gives you the right to think that you can overturn it?
Well, yeah, exactly.
We fought not just the Revolutionary War, but the Civil War. And they, both of them, fucking lost. Both of them.
Yeah, I don't understand why they need these assault weapons. They don't need them. There's nothing for the reason why you need them, that you have to have an assault weapon.
No.
I mean, there's no reason for it. And you know, even though he was a police officer and a military, and I will tell him that, thank you for your service. That was awesome. Thank you. But when it comes to this shit, you know, I have a problem with it. You know, I mean, yeah, he has his viewpoint as a police officer, ex-police officer, whatever he was, saying that, yeah, I believe that we should allow people to carry these assault weapons. But what's going to happen is there's going to be more bloodshed on the streets. You can't tell me it's not going to happen. It's going to happen.
Because
people are going to think there's a fucking war.
When was it? 3 or 4 years ago, at the concert with Jason Aldean in Las Vegas.
Yes.
You know,
Las Vegas,
thousands of people showed up for that concert, and a guy went into his hotel room with a arsenal of assault weapons. broke out the window and killed 65, was it 60 or, I think it was 65 people. And many others injured.
Yep.
How is that okay? How is it okay that in the Parkland shooting, school shooting, that teenagers died because somebody had a mental problem and walked into the school? How is it okay that a transgender person, and I say transgender because she was, not because that's not a derogatory, it's because it is what it is, and killed six people. How is it okay that a kid with a premise racist mindset walked into a grocery store where black people shopped and killed 10 people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not okay. It's not. It's wrong. If the guns weren't
and
there,
you know,
if the guns weren't there,
and did you know,
they would have never done it.
Sorry, Paula. And did you know that a lot of states allow people who are 18 years of age to get an assault weapon, to buy an assault weapon, an 18-year-old? I mean,
without a
handgun. Without a background check. I mean, it's fucked up.
I just learned tonight that, I don't know if it's true or not, my new governor, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, has made it okay for children to buy guns.
Wow. That's messed up.
That's really fucked up.
So, it is. So, we'll ban your books because that's going to hurt you, but we want you to carry guns and we want everybody to get shot and killed. It makes no damn sense.
And drag shows.
Yeah. Right.
Even though, at drag shows, and let me clarify that because people are going, oh, that's perverted. Do you know that these drag show queens, they go into libraries and read to kids. And do you know that they dress not provocatively, but in, like, costumes from the books they're reading to read to these kids?
That's pretty cool.
It is. It's really cool. And yet they're banning the drag queens from reading to children. You know, and I have to tell you, I have gay friends. I have gay friends. Not necessarily drag queen friends, but gay friends. They are the gentlest, most soft-spoken, loving, kind men that I've ever met toward children, that have children of their own from being married to women. And it's really sickening to me that these conservative Republican idiots don't go to a drag show and find out the entertainment. They're funny. They sing. They tell jokes. They're banter back and forth with the audience. They're fun.
Oh yeah.
And yet they're more evil than an AR-15.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I can't understand. And for somebody like that, like a guy was talking about, his idea or his ideology of let's put more guns in people's hands to fight the guns that are out there. That's the worst concept you could ever do. Use guns to fight guns. I mean, it's just dumb.
That's an MTG. That's, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is one of those people that says that's kind of crap.
This person's probably a white nationalist, fascist, and is really concerned about trying to make sure that, you know, we come into a controlled situation to where they can carry their weapons, stock their homes with MREs, and have nuclear fallout shelters, everything else, because the government's coming to knock on their door to fire upon them and take war. I mean, that's
right.
That's stupid.
Right. It is stupid. I'm trying to.
When was the last time the government came to our doors knocking on the doors?
Well, let me put it this way. Let me remind everybody how old I am. I'll be 70 in August. It's never happened.
Right.
It's never fucking happened.
And you know what's funny, Paul, is that we hear it more and more every time there's a Democratic president. They're coming to get your guns. I heard it under Barack Obama. He was coming to get their guns. They were starting a program called Jade Helm 15, and they were sending in these new assault tanks and everything that were being distributed across America. They were taking Walmarts and making them into bases for the Department of Homeland Security to round up people and their ammunition. And this is the kind of shit that I heard. And it was all false. And Alex Jones was on there trying to rally up his base and rally up people, and people were believing this shit. And then they started buying his vitamins, getting ready for the nuclear fallout, because he said, if you buy my vitamins, you're going to make sure that you don't get no nuclear war problems, and it's going to feel good. And that's what he was doing, selling his fucking vitamins. And these idiots were buying them.
Good.
Well, fuck.
That was,
yeah.
I know.
Alex Jones is selling them.
Let me tell you my experience as an almost 70-year-old. When I was in grade school, about fourth, fifth grade, we were worried because we were in a Cold War with Russia. Nikita Khrushchev. Okay? Kennedy was in office. John Kennedy was in office. And, you know, we were worried about a nuclear fallout. We were thinking that Khrushchev, the dictator of Russia back then, was going to nuke us. So, you know what we had? We were taken to the school cafeteria and lined up against the wall and had to get down on our haunches or our butts and put our arms over our faces.
Wow.
And and I look back on that now and I go, like, that was going to protect us from a nuclear fallout in our school cafeteria.
See? Yeah. It's it's weird how things have changed throughout history and then, but it's the same shit that we're dealing with. If it ain't one thing, it's another, to the next. And, you know, I don't know if you heard the latest, well, this big conspiracy that Alex Jones is promoting, along with QAnon, by the way, is something that has been really big, and it's now being – I've heard it so much that it, I don't know if you've heard this, but here's what they're saying. They're saying that, Paula, did you know that in 2024, when Donald Trump announces his running mate, it's going to be John F. Kennedy Jr. who's coming back after he has not been murdered and died in a plane crash that he's been hiding under as an agent for QAnon and for these whatever the hell it is, that he's been gathering information and telling on people, and that's what we've been hearing about, and that he's a part of the QAnon thing, and that he's coming back in 2024 to run with Donald Trump on the ticket.
Well, I know that, what was it, a couple of years ago, when Trump supporters gathered at a certain place in Texas on a certain intersection, that they were waiting on John F. Kennedy Jr. to ride through and be their hero. But I didn't know all that.
Girlfriend, it gets kookier and kookier with these people, man. And they're the ones, Sam, they're worried because they have to carry guns. What are we talking about? It's us that have to worry about it.
How psychotic do you have to be to believe that shit?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's pretty fucked up. You have to be pretty fucked up. But you know, Paula, that's truly what this gun shit is. These are people that are on a power trip, and they got to have their guns to show that they have power. And that, you know, like we always said, they're compensating for their little cocks. You know, they have little dicks.
Yeah.
So the bigger the gun, the smaller the cock, you know? I mean, that's what it is. They're afraid
the
they got to have a
mouth.
Big gun.
You took the worst out of my mouth.
I mean, it's fucking stupid, man. It really is.
I got to show
you
my testosterone. I gotta power up my testosterone by showing the size of my fucking AR-15. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
What's funny, Paula? That guy said, and another thing that irks me, what that guy said, is at the end, he said, when I train people in weapons class, I train them that when you carry your AR-15 or whatever... That you look as if everybody has a gun and you could be shot. That's a really scary situation because you're trying to tell people to pull out your guns on people that don't have guns, and then you know what if they shoot the person over something stupid like running a traffic light and almost hitting them, and then they get pissed and pull out their guns and start firing at them. I mean. You know, anger will not pull back from what their finger is going to do.
Right. Exactly. You know, sticky trigger finger. So I'm a little mad at you. I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah. Let me just shoot you because I'm just mad at you. What happened to the good old days when everybody just would fist fight? You know, what happened to that? There is no more fist fighting anymore. It's all about, well, I'm going to pull a gun out and I'm going to blow your fucking head off because I don't want to fist fight you because I'm scared of you.
Well, that's another thing he said, that, you know, something about people die from knives and what was it he said about hands? Yes, people still choke people to death. Yes. Does it happen as much as guns? No, it does not. It does not. You know, I've said this many times. I watch these crime shows, and I've seen where people choke people to death or stab them. Did they have an AR-15 in their hands? No. How often does that happen? Well,
exactly.
We now know we now know by the numbers that not as many people die from being choked to death or stabbed than by guns. We now know this. So if the guns were, if the AR-15s were taken out of the hands of people, of psychopaths, the killings would not end, but they would lessen to a far further degree than what they are now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Any more callers,
you wanna,
or do we want to get on?
Well, here's the funny thing. I'm going to get to this bonus. I just want to make a point here on something real quick, everybody. So this is a true graph here, and it says countries with the highest total gun deaths owned by civilians by killing people. And the first number one country is actually, I thought, would have been the United States, but it's not. It's Brazil with 49,436. United States is number two. We're the second one on the list of 37,038. This was of 2019. This was the last one. Then you have Venezuela, Mexico, India, Colombia, Philippines, Guatemala. And guess who's not on the list? It's countries like Canada, Great Britain, Europe. Those are not on that list. And then that to me, that's amazing. None of those countries are on there.
And watching these crime shows, I see where stabbings and chokings happen in Great Britain and other countries, but they don't happen by guns. And they're far less deaths from choking and stabbing than by guns.
Yeah. And see, that makes sense, because that's the, you know, and again, people are just really fucking dumb when it comes to this stuff, because that's what they believe.
Well,
but,
you know.
Go ahead.
They said, I was going to say, they say that stabbings and chokings happen because of somebody snapped. Whereas shooting by guns, they're planned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, big time.
Gal that went in to the Covenant Christian School in North Carolina, she planned it. They found manifestos. She planned it.
Yeah. Yeah, I even heard she attended that school when she was little or something like that, they said.
She did. She did. And another thing about her attending that school, I found out today that school was created by a pedophile, and that she went to that school. That she went to that school while he was in charge.
Oh, geez. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, did he do something, I wonder, to mess her up or, you know?
I mean, it's speculatory at this point, but it kind of sounds like it.
Yeah. Oh, man, it does. Spooky, spooky stuff. Let me see. We got a couple more calls here. I'm going to take – let's see what we have here. We have an area code 216. 216, go ahead. Hello? You're on the line. Hello? 216. 216 is not answering. All right, we have another one. Computer, hello? Nobody on that one? Some of these people might be listening in. Let's go to the next one. All right, next, you're on the line.
Yeah, I'd just like you to know that I didn't hang up. I got disconnected. I don't know if it was deliberate or not, but I didn't leave.
It was deliberate.
Oh, I...
Yeah. And we did it again. Sorry, buddy. Bye-bye now. Oh, Paula.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And they sneak through, man. That's what they do. They sneak through like that because they're idiots. But, okay, but it, I got something. So, Paula, there's something I'm going to play. It's a real small thing. You sent me this, and I wanted to show people this. So listen to this. This person talks about, and I thought it was really interesting because when she talks about this, and I thought it was really an interesting video, but you know, if you ever have a chance, go look it up because it's actually a pretty good, it's a pretty cool video. But anyway, this girl speaks about you know, some of the stuff that happens with the United States. Let me see, I think I have it on there. I'll make sure I didn't fuck that up. I'm pretty good at touching things and then blowing something up and losing it. Only because I'm good at doing that, you know, like when my fingers touch something and then I don't download it or something like that. I thought I had it here. I know I did because I was like, I wanted to make sure that Paula, oh, here it is. This is the thing. It's titled under the Secret Organization of Republicans.
Here now, I've been investigating who is behind all of the anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ+, anti-women, anti-BIPOC bills and laws are being passed in this country. And I've told you about the Alliance Defending Freedom, the ADF, who is behind a lot of the bills. But if they are a henchman, the Council for National Policy is the fucking mob boss. Let me tell you about them. The New York Times describes the CNP as a little-known club of a few hundred of the most powerful conservatives in the country who meet three times a year behind closed doors at undisclosed locations for a confidential conference. They are so secretive that you can only attend with unanimous approval of executive committee, and members are instructed to not even refer to the organization by name like it's fucking Fight Club. And because reality is stranger than fiction, they were founded in 1981 by the author of the Left Behind series, Tim LaHaye. To tell you more about them, we need to go back in the past. We have to go all the way back to 1845 when the Southern Baptist Convention was started. The Southern Baptists were created because they branched away from Baptists over slavery. Southern Baptists supported slavery. The Southern Baptist Convention remained apart from other Protestant denominations during the war, and in 1962, the Supreme Court ended public school prayer. Now they are mad. It's at this time that the Southern Baptists realized that with the shifting demographic of America, that they might be irrelevant very soon. They could not have it that way. So the Southern Baptist Church plotted to get into politics. And in 1979, Southern Baptist preacher Jerry Falwell, who was for segregation, he was vehemently opposed to racial integration in academy, he decided to convene a meeting with some other pastors as well as Republican operative Paul Weyrich, who co-founded the Heritage Foundation, and Falwell, Weyrich, Pat Robinson, Tim LaHaye, the author of the frickin' Left Behind series, and presidential Ronald Reagan, got together. They started a little 501c3 organization called the Council for National Policy, which is now a network of evangelicals, oil barons, gun lobbyists, and Republican operatives working to dismantle the social safety net and civil liberties that we have today. And some of its more prominent members today include the Koch brothers and the DeVos family. Leaders of this group have included Tony Perkins, the head of the LGBT Bashing Family Research Council, who was vice president for a year and is still on its board of governors. Tony Perkins, who once claimed that gay people recruit children and secretly published a mailing list for a candidate he was managing from former Klan leader David Duke. Also on the CNP's Board of Governors is Michael Perotka. Perotka was for many years on the board of the League of the South, a neo-Confederate hate group that advocates for a newly secluded South ruled by white people. Another board member is Matt Staver, leader of the Anti-LGBT Liberty Council, who has worked for the recriminalization of homosexuality and calls the Boy Scouts a playground for child abusers. He likened LGBT activists to terrorists. And there's Alan Sears, the founder of, oh look, Alliance Defending Freedom, the AD fucking F.
The entire group seeks a fusion of fundamentalist theology with American civic life. They believe that this country was founded for Christians like them, generally natural-born citizens and white. This group owns media outlets. You might recognize this CNP member, Charlie Kirk, who runs something called Turning Point USA. The Daily Caller is also owned by members of the Council for National Policy, and so is Breitbart. Guess what other organization is a part of the CNP? The fucking National Rifle Association, the NRA. The Seven Mountains Mandates, ADF, Moms of Liberty, ALEC, they are all arms of this fucking monster, the CNP. They backed Ted Cruz on his presidential run because his dad, Rafael Cruz, was one of the founding fucking members. Amy Coney Barrett, Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Ted Cruz, they've all been speakers at CNP conferences. You know, those secret conferences that they're not even allowed to say the dang name of or even disclose where they're having it. Yeah. All this time, the Republicans talking about how there's a shadowy government. It was them all the fucking time. The CNP, the Council for National Policy. Remember that name. Notice it when it pops up in articles or on news stations, because that is the organization that is behind all of the shit that is trying to turn America into a white supremacist, Christian nationalist, fascist shithole. The CNP.
All right, there you go. That's an awesome audio. Hey, Paula. What do you,
yeah.
Thank you for showing that, because I liked that. That was really cool. That was really good audio.
Yeah. I mean, this
is she smart?
You know, and not only is she smart, but she's. I mean, I. How do I say this? As a sensitive, as an intuitive. I've always felt that these people, there is something really wicked evil about these people. My new Sarah Huckabee, my new governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, my senator Tom Cotton, not just them, but that's personal to me. They have to belong with these people. Let me try and dissect this a little bit more. The Koch brothers, who run not only the Heritage Foundation, but many other organizations, have been trying to make America into a white racist anti-civil liberties, civil rights country for many, many years. This is their people. This is their organization. Really bad feeling. But like, I cannot tell you how dark this is. These people are literally trying to go back in time and make America a racist country. That's why they're banning CRT. That's why they're banning books on slavery, on Jewish history, on anti-Semitism. They want to know how it's an underhanded, evil way of trying to indoctrinate America into racism and anti-Semitism. And you know, I see a lot of maggots and trolls I, you know, I'm one of those people. I go on all the Republican pages, like Jim Jordan, MTG, Ted Cruz, more. I go, even Kevin McCarthy, the new Speaker of the House, and I see these trolls and maggots speak up. And they say the word Soros. George Soros is a Jew. And he was supported by Hillary Clinton. But yet they are, you probably support Soros. That is code for I am anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic. I want to degrade the Jews. I want to degrade the black people.
Right.
And I want to make them look bad. Every time, George Soros is a very, 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 very wealthy Jewish man that supports the Democratic Party. So when they bring up his name, it's automatic. You have to look at it as automatic anti-Semitism. So, okay. So what are anti-Semites about? Okay, Jewish people did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Okay.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. You can have your own opinion. You can think what you want. But the fact remains that millions of Jewish people were killed by a Nazi dictator during World War II. Hitler. Are you still going to support? You know, are you doing the same thing with Muslims? Are you doing the same thing with Hindus? Are you doing the same thing with Buddhists? If you're a Protestant Christian, are you doing the same thing with Catholic Christians? Who the fuck cares? Who the fuck cares what they believe in? Who the fuck cares what they believe in?
Exactly.
You know, we're all going to have to face God. If our religion defines who we are, if God is going to judge us on our man-made religion, what is wrong with you?
Exactly. Exactly. That's a perfect example of it right there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it.
I was married. Listen, as a Protestant Christian, I was married to a Muslim for 14 years. Did I degrade him for what he believed in? He believed. Let me tell you what Muslims believe in. They think that Muhammad was a prophet. There's nothing wrong with that. They also believe Jesus was a prophet. They don't necessarily believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But don't tell me that what I believe and what you believe is wrong.
Right.
We're all going to have to face the same God. So.
That's right, one way or another.
And you know, I have the, there's a young man I have on my friends list, and he goes, he's a famous psychic medium, and he makes his money off going to famous people's homes and doing readings for them. And someone asked him one time if he believed in hell and heaven. And he could not answer. And he's really good at what he does. I mean, he connected these famous people with their loved ones. So I'm not gonna tell you what to believe. You cannot tell me that what you believe in is the absolute truth. Because we really don't know.
No, we don't.
You know,
yeah, we don't.
I got to tell you, Jerry, this young man has never countered a negative bull for Jay. But yet, people with their love. But yet he connects people with their loved ones.
That's good. That's
so
interesting.
I know, right?
But to a lot of people, they think that Muslims are evil, you know, which really bothers me.
Yeah, and the thing is about Muslims, since I was married to a Muslim for 14 years, let me tell you, motherfucking bigots. Okay? Muslim people speak Arabic. They speak Arabic. And their God, Allah, that is the Arabic word for God.
Yes. Yep.
We both believe in God. They just call him by their name in Arabic. You know, it's like the Native Americans. They call him the Great Father. The Jews call him, what is it, Abraham? What is it, Jerry? Help me out here. Is it Abraham trying to think.
What's it called again? I'm sorry.
Abraham. They Jews call God by a different name, like Muslims do. But because
right.
of 9/11, but because of 9/11, they call Allah a different God. It's not a different freaking God. It's the same God.
Exactly.
We worship. We call him God. They call him Allah in the Arabic language. I mean, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
Do we have any more callers?
No.
Do we have any emails?
We do have some emails, but, you know, I read through some of them. Most of them are just, honestly, they're pretty silly, people being really stupid like they always are. And, you know, some of these emails, I like reading them, and then some of them, I just don't read them because the people come up with some of the dumbest shit out here. And, for example, let me just give you one, okay? So this guy, his name is True Patriot. There you go. That just kicks it off right there.
Oh, God.
There it is. Probably Alex Jones. I tell you, it's me, Alex Jones. I'm calling right now. Or
George DeVolder.
Yeah, George DeVolder. You know, whatever his name is. Yeah. Yeah, dumb son of a bitch. But here's what this guy says. He says, what we need to do is not get rid of guns, but how about if we just take Kevlar, put it into the book bags and uniforms of children that they must wear to protect them?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's the guy.
What's wrong with you, dude?
Yeah. So me and Joey, we just want to put Kevlar on you and send you off to school.
At almost 70, when I went to school, I was looking how I could look fashionable. So to attract a young boyfriend or look cool for my female classmates, Kevlar going to make you look cool. That is really stupid. That is really stupid. Oh my God.
Yeah, it is, man. It's just, this is how stupid they are.
We have not talked about Trump being indicted.
I know, your favorite thing right there.
Do we have any time
indicted
at all?
Indicted?
You know, people out there in La La Land, do you realize that a New York DA... I'm getting the hiccups. Oh, God. I got the hiccups. Okay.
Ew.
Do you realize, people, do you realize that they can't indict anybody, any single person in America, including an ex-president of the United States? What do you plan?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United
States. Stop it. Oh, stop it.
Did you... You know that that's January 6 people in jail singing that in the background,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
But you know, I watched Fox for a little while tonight, just to see their reaction to Trump being indicted, and they're all going, "It's a witch hunt."
It's a witch hunt.
How can they do this to a president? You fucking idiot. You know that you cannot indict someone without probable cause, without actual evidence that a crime has been committed. You cannot take it into a courtroom.
That's right.
And say, this person needs to be arrested without actual evidence of a crime committed.
Yeah, and they're saying, Paula, they're saying that, they're saying, like what Mike Pence was saying tonight, he's like, oh, this is the, was it the district attorney, whatever, he said that he was not going to arrest until he can indict Donald Trump. And this is the Democrats going against it. And it's like, no. It happened. It's a grand jury of 23 people, not just the prosecuting attorney
and
the DA.
And the thing is, this grand jury that indicted him are both Republican and Democrat people.
Yeah, it's a good figure.
You cannot. These people do not look at their party. When you choose your party over country, you're fucked up.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with party. It has nothing to do with the Republican Party. It has to do with a actual crime. And I say this again as someone who lives on crime shows. I watch these crime shows, and I see these investigators and district attorneys, and they go after the people that have actually committed a crime. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm just so sick of it. I'm just so, Jerry, I'm so sick of it. When is he going to go the fuck out?
Oh, yeah. I don't understand. You know, and why are these people supporting this guy? What happened to Americans?
They're brainwashed. They're brainwashed. They're in a cult.
And, yeah,
it's
they believe anything that this guy tells them.
And the thing is he's really stupid. The man is stupid. Okay, so for anybody listening, okay, there are people, while he was in the White House, there are people that actually did fact checks on him, things he said. He told over 30,000 lies.
True, that's
while
a lot.
He was, you think? It was like 30,000 just in the White House. It was like 30,332 lies. Something like that.
Wow.
That's a pathological liar. You know, I have to when I was in high school, I rode a bus with a gal that would lie through her teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw through her lies. And I recognized her as a, even back when I was 17 years old, I recognized her as a pathological liar. This man is a pathological liar. He's a psychopath that wouldn't know how to tell the truth if it saved his fucking life.
No, absolutely not. Exactly.
Does not know how to tell the truth. So he told the fact checkers, and I put this up to trolls and maggots, and they go, oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You're lying. So you're telling me that these people who do this for a living, this is what they do. For a living. They get paid to fact check.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that I'm a liar? that I'm the one who's lying when he's the one who's
right, lying?
When it's fact check, man. Oh, by the way, Paula, I think we have a call
yeah.
from Donald Trump. I think he's actually on the line. Let me see if this is him.
Oh, bring it in.
Yeah, let's see if he'll see if he answers on this.
Okay.
Will he answer? Well, it says it's down in Mar-a-Lago. It is Mar-a-Lago, Florida, Trump. That's weird. It went up there and then it didn't pick up. I don't know what the hell happened. Well, we'll see if we can get it back here.
You know what's funny while you're doing that?
What's that?
Hilarious. That a porn star may be the one to take down Donald Trump.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, that's funny. It will be the best. It is the best. That's just the best, you know.
Yeah, she's so funny. I mean, I don't know if you've been seeing my messages that I'm putting. Stormy Daniels, the bomb. Somebody told her on Twitter that Donald Trump wouldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole. And she goes, no. She goes, no, he couldn't touch me with a 3-inch. He couldn't touch me with a 3-inch metro.
Oh, shit, that's funny. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
She's great. She's a legend. Oh, my God, she's a legend.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, that is hilarious. See, that's the kind of stuff I find funny because it's just hilarious shit, you know.
You should go all the rights. He wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole. No, he wouldn't touch me with a 3-inch mushroom.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, there is a video of her somewhere. I'm trying to think of the talk show. I think it's Jimmy Kimmel. Or Jimmy Kimmel or the other one. And they had a palette laid out with, like, different mushroom levels. And they had her on. They had her on, and they asked her to point out his dick. His dick. And she pointed to a little mushroom.
Oh, my God.
And I got to tell you, I'm almost 70. I don't give a shit what I say anymore. I'm not into men. I don't have boyfriends or men interested in me. I got to tell you, as an experienced woman, unquote, it's mm-hmm. always, you know, he was over 6 feet tall. Okay.
Oh, my God.
I got to tell you, as an, quote, experienced woman, it was always the largest men with the little bitty peepees. And it was always the littlest men with a great big fat fucking make you come. Satisfy you. Yeah. So that's my personal experience, and I have a lot of experience. And it was always the average man, the average, you know, just under 6 feet tall, not stocky, that had the, not big, not small, average, satisfy you much. Yeah.
Mushroom peanut.
Make you happy. Make you happy. Make you happy.
I think that's one of those, I think it's one of those uncircumcised penis things, you know.
Well, I don't know about that. I think I only ran into one man that was uncircumcised, and that was the bodybuilder I dated in my mid-20s. And he was okay. Yeah.
Was he okay?
Yeah.
Just okay? Oh, yeah, I remember you showed me him.
Yeah.
I remember that.
That guy.
Yes.
That guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
He looked like he could actually satisfy a blue whale.
Well, we were both on cocaine at the time. And I can say that now, an almost 70-year-old, because that was, 45 years ago? So, you know, I can say that now.
Oh, my God. Cocaine, man. I bet that was some wild shit.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had sex with cocaine, so.
Oh, well, identify that, because as a person with ADHD, severe anxiety, and PTSD, cocaine, especially with ADHD, okay, cocaine is with somebody with ADHD, cocaine, an upper. And I still love caffeine to this day because I've been doing caffeine. I did two cups of caffeine tonight with Irish cream and get ready for the show. Somebody with ADHD will like an upper, like caffeine, like cocaine, like an Adderall that they say Trump does, as a go-to, because it makes us feel normal. So cocaine to me, I only did it for 4 months. 4 months, and then I looked in the mirror and went, "What are you doing, woman? You're going to get addicted to this shit if you don't stop." So I quit. So I did it. He was a dealer. That guy was a dealer.
Damn, Paula.
And so, and we're not talking about meth. We're not talking about crack. We're talking about pure cocaine. Okay?
Yeah.
We're talking about the stuff that came in from Colombia and was good shit. So I was able to get off of it before I became super addictive to it. But,
oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a condo and he lived with a roommate, 2-bedroom condo with a roommate. And one day I went and looked, he and his roommate were both gone. I went in the bathroom, this big, huge mirror. And I looked in the mirror and I went, I don't feel right about this. This is wrong. I quit. And I quit it after 4 months. But the thing is about people with ADHD, and my son has it really, really, really bad, is that we feel normal on an upper. And cocaine is an upper. And so
right.
I felt normal. I felt normal on cocaine. But yet I chose to go off of it completely. I stopped it that day, that in the mirror, and went, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. It was on the verge of becoming this is normal to addiction.
Right. That's what I would think, you know.
And I thank God for that, because without God, I don't know if I'd been able to do that. Without my spirit guide, without my God, without somebody from the beyond telling me that it was wrong, you're going to get addicted and fall into a trap. And then about probably 2 years later, when I was married to someone else and had a child and talked to a mutual female friend of ours, that I found out that he had been arrested with a pound of cocaine on him.
Holy Tentacle Tuesday, Batman. That's a lot.
Yeah, it was. And I could have been caught up in that.
Girlfriend, that's dangerous, yes.
Yeah. Thanks.
Man, Paula.
So, I know. And I'm grateful to God that I was able to look in the mirror that day, say, I can't do this anymore. I'm done.
Oh.
I'm not going to do it. Yeah?
I found Donald Trump. He's on the line again. Donald Trump, are you there?
You have a collect call from a federal correctional facility. Do you accept the charges?
Sorry, Don. No, we do not. Are you sure you want to call us from there?
You have a collect call from a federal correctional facility. Do you accept the charges?
No.
Oh, my God.
Man,
that's funny.
You just keep calling.
You have a collect call from a federal correctional facility. Do you accept the charges?
I gotta talk about this a little bit, because they're saying on Tuesday that he's going to have to check in with the New York federal facilities. Shut up, Jerry. They're saying it's Tuesday. They're saying it's Tuesday. So, okay, so he still has Secret Service men around him.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. There are still Secret Service people around him. And he's got to check in to New York on federal offenses. How are his Secret Service people going to handle this?
Exactly.
Are they going?
Because they can't interfere.
I mean, the federal government is over their head. I would think.
Well, yeah.
So,
yeah, especially if somebody's being arrested for it, you know, or getting indicted on these charges.
You know how weird that is? That is really weird.
This is the first time it ever. This is historical.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So how, you know, I would think that his Secret Service people would have to fall in line with the federal government and say,
yeah, I would think
okay,
so too.
Jerry, how do you think they're going to handle it?
I think they're going to bring him in, and I think they're going to bring him in to where he's not being seen by the public. I think they'll bring him in through, like, a tunnel or something, and we probably won't even get to see him. If they do bring him in through the front or whatever, I think they're going he'll probably be going handcuffs, you know, because they have to, he has to appear before it, and that's how most people, when they're indicted and they have to report in front of the judge for arraignment, they usually are handcuffed. That's the normal process.
Right.
And then they have to worry if he's a flight risk, if he wants to flee the country. You know.
Well, I mean, even Steve Bannon was brought in on federal charges, was handcuffed in front of the cameras.
Yeah, and that's what they're wanting to do. They're wanting to put it publicly out there. They're trying to debate whether if they can show his mugshot photo or not.
You know. As a person that cannot stand that fucking son of a bitch, I want to see his perp walk. I want to see him in handcuffs.
Yeah.
I want to see him in handcuffs.
You know what I find amazing is that all the people that he called upon to protest in front of the courtroom or the courthouse, they didn't even have but a handful of people. There was nobody there.
Right. Well, there's only a handful in front of Mar-a-Lago, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
If you idiots out there in La La Land still support Donald Trump, you're in a cult, and you need to be programmed.
Go on. Yeah.
And Jerry, is this some guy on this liberal podcast that is broadcasting across the world. He used to be a Republican. And I bring that up to trolls. Sorry, I bring
that's right.
up to trolls.
Well, that's good. That's what that they need to know. You know? I mean, honestly, they do. By the way, Ms. Paul, we have like 4 minutes left. That's why I was figuring I'd let you know.
Okay.
Do you
okay.
want to close up the show
okay.
for us, please?
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I know we broadcast across the world, even into Russia. If you're listening, if you are listening from Russia, Vladimir Putin is lying to you. Ukraine is not a Nazi country, and it isn't and never has been. Don't listen to his lies if you're listening. And come back in next time. Assalamu alaikum. May peace be with you. Play the JLS rock song.
All right, everybody. Have a good night. We'll see you again on Sunday unless something else happens. But have a good night, everybody. Take care and remember to love one another.
You have a collect call from a federal correctional facility. Do you accept the charges?
He's trying to call again, that dipshit. Anyway, Donald Trump's been trying to call all night long because he figures he can get through, but it's we can't accept that. I'm sorry, buddy. All right, everybody, have a good night. Take care.
Rock, rock, rock.